Revelation chapter 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to begin with verse 7. Now in chapter 20, we were taking a look at this beautiful time on the earth known as the millennial reign, or the thousand-year reign of Christ. And after this, Satan is going to be released out of this, after this thousand years, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years and then released at the end of this time period. And he's going to go to deceive the nations. And he's going to gather a great multitude together of those who are in rebellion to God for a final battle known as the Battle of Armageddon. And in verse 7 it says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now remember in Matthew 25 it talks about hell as being a place for the devil and his angels. But whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will also be there. Now, the question again, it's brought up and I want to bring it up again tonight, is why would God allow Satan to be released for a short time? And I think a short answer for that is because of the free choice that we have, the freedom to choose, the free will of man. I believe it's going to be to separate the true follower of Christ at this time on the earth from those who do not truly love Him. Remember, the church is going to be already glorified together with Christ at that time when He reigns over the earth. We should at that time have already been brought up together with Him in our glorified state. And those who suffer with Him shall also reign with Him. Amen? God has made us priests, a priesthood, that we also should reign with Him on the earth for 1,000 years. So there's going to be a different assignment for the church. We're going to be in a body that is glorified. It's going to be like Jesus' body. It's not going to rot. It's not going to die. And yet there will be people during this 1,000 years, during these 10 centuries, that are going to be born and that are going to live on the earth. And also let me just say this, that the saints who are with the Lord are not going to be in the same type of situations that we find here, because Jesus said in that resurrection they will not marry nor be given into marriage. And so we will be like or as the angels of heaven. And so we won't be reproducing in that sense that we are doing now. However, there will be people on the earth during the time when Christ reigns over the earth, and they will be born, and many, there will be many generations born during that time. And so in verse 6 it tells us, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power." Now folks, you've got to be in the first resurrection, amen? You don't want to be in the second. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there it is. And so those who are entering into this time, this period of 1,000 years, who have not been redeemed, there'll be redeemed people on the earth, I believe, but they're going to have corruptible human bodies. And but in Isaiah, interesting enough, 65 and verse 20, this is talking about this period called the millennial reign. It says in verse 20, "No more shall an infant," that's Isaiah 65 verse 20, "from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." And so, even though Satan is not going to be around during this millennial reign to tempt, mankind still, that has the Adamic nature that he's received from Adam, amen, because he did not come to Christ in the time that was acceptable to God, that he might be redeemed and that he might escape the wrath, amen, and the judgments and the great tribulation time that's coming upon the earth. Those who remain will be going through some very, very difficult times. And I believe that even now we're in very difficult times, and that there are many who are experiencing all kinds of great tribulation, if you will, right now. There are many of our brothers and sisters around the globe who are suffering a great deal for their witness of Jesus. There are many who are losing, or even laying down their lives for their witness for Jesus. And so we're definitely not living in easy times. And there are many enemies, and there's much opposition right now to the work of God in the earth. But the Lord has promised a place for you and I, amen, in Him, that we don't have to worry about this life, this biological life. Amen. This is only an earth suit that we have for a season. It wears out. Amen. And but we're getting a new one. This corruptible one put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. So we're going to have a glorified body just like Jesus. And it's not going to be some spirit on a cloud playing a harp or a flute. Amen. We're going to be in a state like Jesus was when He came up out of the grave. And He appeared to them, and He was able to eat and drink with them. And they could touch Him and handle Him. That sounds good to me. Amen. Because I like to eat. I don't know about you. So we're going to be eating the best, of course. So us as believers, we're supposed to be at that time with Christ. And that was Matthew 22 and verse 30, where it says, in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Now, whoever this Gog and Magog is, we know it's mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we believe that in the sense of that Ezekiel 38 war, there's different schools of thought. One believes that that is different than what is mentioned here. But whoever Gog and Magog is here, we can agree on this, and that they are the final enemies of God on the earth that will come together in a great coalition. And they will seek to overthrow, if you will, the great city. What is that great city? That would be Jerusalem. And when Christ will be reigning, right? I don't understand how anybody who could have the audacity to think that they could overthrow Jesus, you know. But yet, it's happening today where people are opposing the things that God is doing. There are times when God moves in phenomenal ways, in supernatural ways, in miraculous ways, and people still fight and balk and resist that and refuse to believe. And you know, God does not want a people who are forced to love Him. And so there's going to be a harvest even during this time, I believe. And it's going to be of those who willingly give their lives to Jesus, who willingly love and serve and obey Him. Those who truly love Him, you see, obey Him. And so there's going to be also those who I believe will be spared during this time as well. But then there's going to be a coming together of these, of this great multitude, it says, as the sands of the sea are going to be brought together to fight against God. And God, of course, will destroy them with fire from heaven. Now, I got this the other day, and it's something I wanted to share with you tonight for your prayerful consideration. Okay, I don't believe half of the stuff I get, but if I read something and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to my heart about it, I pay attention, and I want to share it with you as well tonight. I mean, you know, there's just a lot of voices out there, right? We really need to be able to discern between the voice of man, the voice of Satan, and the voice of the Lord. But this is a man who had an open vision, and this was of the future of America. And it has to do with the nation of Israel. I was sitting on my couch when suddenly my TV changed channels to a current weather forecast. I was shocked as the news anchor showed a picture of what appeared to be the largest hurricane I had ever seen. Normally, hurricanes form in the ocean as stormy winds collide and then make their way towards land. However, this hurricane was completely different. It was already on land, specifically America. As the news report showed a satellite image of this storm, I noticed that it spread from America's northern border with Canada to the southern border with Mexico. The eye of the storm was plowing through the heartland of America. The news anchor said, "We have a correspondent on the ground in the storm." The scene switched. I watched a young man with a microphone in a rain suit being tossed by the wind. I could see some sort of debris swirling around his head. He said, "This is the most unusual storm. It's not raining in the normal way." He reached down towards the ground and picked up a handful of $1 bills. "It's raining money," he shouted. The scene switched back to the news anchor. I sat there in shock as I heard him say, "Ladies and gentlemen, there has been another catastrophe. It seems that a major earthquake has hit the New Madrid Fault." Now, we know that's a fault that runs through the very center of the United States. Pictures flashed before my eyes of devastation as cities collapsed from the shaking. Immediately, I heard a loud voice behind my right ear that said sternly, "They divided my land, now I will divide theirs." How many are aware of what's happening right now in the political arena where they are pressuring Israel to divide the land? The land that God promised to Abraham and to his descendants. Whenever we interfere with Israel, judgments have come upon America. And folks, we need to pray. And I knew this was the voice of God and that he was judging America because of her reckless policies concerning Israel. As the vision unfolded, I saw the collapse of the dollar. Riots filled the streets of America's cities. I saw people holding large picket signs that read, "I want my entitlements." I witnessed a private meeting of foreign nations that met for the sole purpose of devaluing the dollar. The price of silver went up, a fact that I have no explanation for to this day. America is in the crosshairs of prophecy. From her very roots, America has prophetically and spiritually connected to the land of Israel and God's chosen people, the Jews. The laws of the land were based on the first five books of the Bible, and to depart from this heritage is detrimental to this nation and the nation of Israel. In fact, America might have very well already crossed the line, the point of no return. If so, then the judgment of God is already descending upon this nation. This is even more reason to pray for mercy, for more time to preach the gospel. For your prayerful consideration, folks, the reason why God is going to confine Satan, amen, and then he's going to eventually cast him into the lake of fire where the smoke of his torment will go up forever and ever. It will never end. Hell is a place that is eternal. It is a torment that never ends. And it's due to the sin of rebellion. Folks, we've got to guard ourselves. We've got to pray. We've got to be very careful. Because rebellion sometimes is a subtle thing. We don't even realize we're rebelling when we are. Are you with me? We got to be careful. Rebellion is something you're seeing across the globe. I've said it many times recently, but these nations and overthrowing of governments and insurrections and a lack of any respect for authority and people that are out with their own agenda, irregardless of the authorities that God has placed in their lives. These are things that all of us, including myself, who also am a man under authority, I have to keep myself and I have to protect myself in that place. Amen? That I do not speak against those who are in authority over me. But this is the sin of Satan, who said that I, you know, will lift my throne above his. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.'" In verse 15 of Isaiah 14, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Proverbs 16 and 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, the first part of that says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. God is going to judge, folks, the proud just the way He judges Satan. And when we are not careful, if we exalt ourselves, amen, we will be brought down. If we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. That's God's way. And so this is all coming to an end here. Satan had been released for a season as he's gathered the nations to come together to fight against God and His saints. Amen? God is going to destroy him. Fire will come down and he's going to take Satan. And this is going to be his final destination. He's going to cast him into the lake of fire where he will be judged forever. In Malachi 4:1 it says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly, will be stubble." How much better it is for us to humble ourselves to obey the Lord. Amen? And receive His grace. James 4 and 6, part B of that, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We are the humble. We are the ones who realize that it's not of us. It's not in us. We can't do it. It's in Him. Our life, amen, is in Him. We depend on Him. We acknowledge that we're poor in spirit. Amen. We acknowledge that our life is in God. We acknowledge that it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we are saved. We acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. We acknowledge that my righteousness is worth nothing to God. It's His righteousness alone that saves me. It's His righteousness alone that will sustain and keep me. It's His grace, amen, that keeps me. And in verse 10 of James chapter 4, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." In verse 10, it says, "The devil who deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And this is the final ending, amen, of the deceiver of all the ages. And he's going to end up in this place. And folks, I just want to jump ahead a little bit to the end of the book here because we're going to get to this, but I just feel this is a good place to put this. And it's from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. He says, God says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In other words, they're going to end up in the same place where Satan is. Do not be deceived. Amen? There are people who are mocking God, and they're not going. He's not going to be mocked. There are people who claim to be Christians who are living in all kinds of open rebellion and sin to God, and He is not going to be mocked. God's judgment will come. But we've been given lots of opportunity, lots of grace, lots of time, amen, to get it right. That means to simply shield, release ourselves, give ourselves over to God. As it says in Romans 12, amen, to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Realizing that my life is in Him. My life is in the palm of His hand. Realizing that it's the Lord, amen, who will see you through to the end. Who are the overcomers? Who are the ones who overcome these sins? Those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are the overcomers. Why? Because we are trusting in the one who has overcome the world. And if you have the overcomer in you, then you also are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe we're living in a time where there are many false conversions. I believe we're living in a time where people think that they're right with God when they're not. Jesus said, "A tree is known by its fruit." And so don't tell me you're a Christian. Amen? And don't even act like a Christian around me. I'm not the judge, but God is. And the same thing is true. I'm not going to just tell you I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to act like a Christian when I'm around you. I'm going to be a Christian. There's a difference. I'm going to live out of my new identity. I'm going to live out of the new creation, who I am now in Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm no longer going to sow to the flesh. I'm going to sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. Because those who sow to their sin nature will of that nature reap corruption. And he was speaking to the Galatians. Another translation talks about the cowardly. Those who are the fearful who turn away from the Lord. How many know that you and I cannot even stand, amen, in the presence of our enemies? We cannot endure, we cannot overcome except by the power of God. Yes. Except by the grace of God. Yes. How many know that God has not given us a spirit of fear? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, Peter at one time denied the Lord, didn't he? Peter was the one who thought that within himself he had what it took to live for Jesus. He was a go-getter, man. We're going to do this thing together, Jesus. You and I are tight. I'll never deny you. But he was full of himself. He was operating in self-will and his willpower. And he thought that his willpower was going to be enough to keep him. He found out very shortly that willpower will never carry you. Peter had to come into a place where he was broken and he realized, I can't do it. There are a lot of people I run into, including myself at one time, who I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. What it was is you tried to operate in your flesh and to live according to a rule that is impossible for you to live by. Are you with me? It's impossible for us to please God apart from faith. It's not by what I do, it's what He's done for me, my faith in that. And so I got discouraged because I was trying. Has anybody ever been there? You're just trying. I'll just work at it a little harder. I've asked people, I said, you know, now you know what you need to do, right? They said, yeah, I'll try. Well, no, you just do it. If God says repent, you repent. If He says do this, you do it. You don't tell your boss, well, I'll try to do that. He's our boss. He's our master. When the master says, do that, you don't say, well, I'll try to do that. I tried to do your will, but it didn't work. God would never tell you and I to do anything without granting us the power to do it. His power is there. Hallelujah. All he needs is obedience. And that's when it gets fun, because you start to see God moving in your life. You start to see God doing awesome things through your life because you just said yes. A kind act, a call, a prayer offered, and you saw a result. Amen? A witness to someone about Jesus that resulted in salvation. You pray for somebody, they get healed. That's exciting. You obeyed God, and the fruit of that, amen, is evidence that your faith is genuine. There's a lot of people talk about faith, but there's no evidence of faith. I don't want to be one of these that just talks about faith and I can explain faith and I can dissect the word faith and give you all the angles of faith and what faith is and not be walking by faith in my daily life. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? The just shall live by faith. So it's not enough just to know about it. It's a matter of you and I walking it out. Whatever God says He's going to do, He will do. Don't try to make happen what God says He will make happen. Don't try to do what He says He's going to do. All God is asking us to do sometimes is just to be a listening ear. And He'll bring a healing to somebody just because they had someone that would listen to them. He may give you a word for them. He may not. The key is to listen for His voice. Amen? God may give you an assignment to call somebody. You're waking up in the middle of the night. Somebody's on your heart. Something's up. Even tonight while we're here, somebody came to my heart that I need to contact. I just kind of slapped in the face with it. There's people around us that we need to pray for. You don't see them. We're not those who shrink back to destruction. We are those who believe. Amen? We go forward. We're pressing on. We're not looking back. Jesus said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. We're in this all the way. And I'm glad. As a matter of fact, there's no bridge to go back over anyways. It's burned out. It's gone. The old is gone. The new has come. So we only have one place to go, folks, and that's we're going upward. Amen? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't have to be fearful. You know, there are going to be those who will be judged because God told them to do something, but they allowed their fear to control them. They served another master called fear. It's getting quiet in here. The one man who received the one talent, he went and he hid his talent in the earth. When the reckoning came, he said, "Where is it at?" He said, "Lord, I knew you were an austere man and you reap where you didn't sow. And I was fearful," he said, "and I hid. But there is your money." How many know that God gives us grace not to waste? We are not to receive the grace of God in vain. We have been given a tremendous assignment and responsibility as the people of God to declare the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Yes. To win the lost to Christ. Are we doing that? Are we praying? Are we seeking His face? Are we seeking the heart of God to know the will of God? If you present your bodies to Him, amen, and you renew your mind, then you can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. If you really want to know the will of God, He'll show it to you. But if you really want to know the will of God, you're going to have to seek Him. As a matter of fact, there are many times when God simply has already put it in our hearts, but we just disregard it. We know what the Lord is saying, but we don't want to do it. Folks, I don't want the Lord to say, "Well, I called you. I asked you to do it. You didn't want to do it. So I'm going to choose somebody else." There are times, folks, we can make an emotional decision based upon a disagreement in our lives, and we can step out of the will of God, out of our assignment, and we can lose what God had planned for us. And He'll bring somebody else. He'll just say, "Okay, well, it's yours now." Is that right? We can lose our rewards. You can begin well but not finish well. We're in this all the way. We're not looking back. It is a fear, a healthy fear and reverence for the Lord. And as a shepherd, I tell you, there's times when I just, "God, I don't want to miss you. God, I don't want to lead your people astray. God, I don't." It's tough. And there's times when I have to make decisions and I have to confront issues that I don't want to do. And you'll pay a price for it too. But you know what? I would rather obey God and lose favor with certain individuals than to deny Him to please people. Being a peacemaker, folks, is not pleasing everybody. Peace comes often at a cost, at a price. Sometimes in our marriage, you got to have a little falling out once in a while. I don't know why I look like my wife when I said that, but actually we're getting along really good right now. Like I said before, our roots go deep. We've been through some battles, but we've come through on the other side and has made us both better. We have a deep love for one another. You know, through it all, you grow your roots. As the winds beat upon your tree, you know, But sometimes you have to confront the issues. I tell you what, Heisuk has been very good for me, and that she's brought some balance to me, and I hope and trust that I brought some balance to her as well. But God brings you together for a reason, and you do have opposites often in a relationship. Are you with me? But it's not a bad thing, because you can hone each other. And there's times when, because Heisuk is very blunt, she's very black and white, and her way, really, and she's doing this in love, because she knows that if you don't straighten something out down the road, it's going to really be bad. Okay? And so on the other hand, sometimes I'm a little bit too flexible. All right? And there has to be some flexibility. Are you with me? We got to be flexible. We got to be understanding. We got to be patient. We got to give grace. But there comes a time when you have to confront issues. And sometimes in our relationship, we'll have to just confront something. Otherwise, you're just going to walk around and you're going to be in this fog, because both of you are holding on to stuff and it ends up being a wedge between you. I don't know why I'm talking about this tonight. But God does. Yes. But we have to confront it, and we have to be open, and we have to say, this is right on the table. This is it, folks. There's times when I'm preaching stuff that I had not planned on, like tonight. Some of this I haven't planned on, but it has to be brought right out on the table. Because when the light is turned on, the darkness has no place to hide. And you have to do it that way. You need to know that I care enough about you that I'm going to tell you the truth. And I know there's those of you among you that will tell me the truth too. If you feel I'm getting out of line, that's okay. Because I will at least examine myself and say, Lord, is there any truth to this? People who know me know that's true of me. And if there is, I'll take responsibility for it. Fortunately, we haven't had very good role models in our politics, have we? Where they don't take responsibility for their actions. But as people of God, as believers, we need to be transparent. We need to be people that are teachable, where we can say, okay, Sunday night we had a wonderful time of sharing together here, where people began to really open up and just to share from their heart. You know, because it was safe. They knew it was safe. And we need to have that. We need to have safety among us. We need to protect one another's honor. Folks, I really want to make it my goal as a leader and as a shepherd to honor you, to never dishonor you. But sometimes, folks, we can get fearful that we're going to be dishonored, and and as soon as we get into fear, then we get into control. And when we get into control, then we have to beat that person to the chase. Are you with me? And we start doing damage to their name or whatever, because we're afraid they're saying these things about me, which the enemy is a liar, and we can't be listening to his voice. There are times when things happen to me that I just want to get up there and expose it, folks. I just want to let you know exactly what's going on and this is why. But folks, that would be wrong for me to do that. I'll never point a person out and say, you, but I will expose the sin. I will take that which is wrong and I will say, this is the devil. Don't pay attention to him anymore. Don't listen to what he's saying anymore, okay? This is one of his tactics. This is what he's doing. All right? And any one of us can be caught up in that. Any one of us can be influenced by those spirits. So the Word of God is good, because it exposes what he's up to. And so He says, well, I'll find a shadow over here. He gets into that shadow, and then you just take the word and you apply it to that shadow, and he runs over here. And eventually he says, I'm getting out of this church. I'm getting out of here. As a matter of fact, as individuals in our own lives, when the Word of God comes in, he begins to expose things. The light comes on, and it's like I get no place to hide anymore. I'm out of here. People get delivered from demons simply from hearing the Word of God. Yes. It's not always a casting out, folks. It's the Word itself will drive them out because there's no longer any legal right because the light came on and he has no place to hide anymore. The person becomes aware of it and says, you're out of here, devil. No more. You're not going to torment my mind anymore. You're not going to keep me in fear any longer. We're here to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love, forgive. We're called to sow the seed of the word into hearts. We're here to water the word. We're here to throw the net out to the lost, amen, and the dying around us. And we cannot allow the enemy to get us wrapped up in all kinds of petty dramas that distract us away from our mission. He's an expert at that. He's been doing it a long time. So that each one of us shall give an account of ourselves, don't we, to the Lord in that day. Every word that I say, I know I'm accountable for. The angels of God are here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. He knows even our thoughts. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Little eyes, what you see. Boy, we can learn a lot from those children's songs. Sometimes we just got to go back to the basics and say, well, let's take a look at this again. Mm-hmm.